Introspective, inward-looking, self-examining, characterized by or given to introspection.
Welcome to the Introspective Podcast, your compass for internalizing the path towards optimal lifestyle design, business success, and mindful entrepreneurship with your host, Jake Anderson.
Welcome back to another episode of the Introspective Podcast, and I am excited about today because this is actually probably one of my favorite topics to really discuss, and that is the topic of productivity. And as entrepreneurs and going into our businesses, we can really overwhelm ourselves very quickly and get caught on this hamster wheel of hustle and grinding and working late nights and burning the midnight oil and not sleeping like we should and kind of running through the day in this mode of reactivity. And we shouldn't be operating that way. And there's certain things that we need to understand when it comes to productivity. And I'm really grateful today to bring on my special guest and also somebody who I consider to be a good friend. He's my brother from another mother. I've really just connected so well with Klaus von Osterhout. He is amazing business or life coach. He helps business owners and entrepreneurs increase their productivity, you know, not only winning in business, but also winning in the home too, right? It's very much so three-dimensional, 360 degrees in the way that he works with people. And productivity is something of a specialty for Klaus. And we're going to really break that down in today's interview. He is the founder of Become the Me I Want to Be, as well as hosting the Secret Productivity Hacks Radio. He's doing some amazing things. So let's bring him on the show. I welcome Klaus. Klaus, how are you doing today?
Doing good, man. We were brothers until you let your hair grow out.
Hey, you know what? Let me tell you something here. First off, good eye there. It is going to be getting cut. My birthday is in 2 days on April 10th. So I'll be turning 37 years old. And my wife's like, what do you want for your birthday? I'm like, you see that like freedom groomer? It's like Facebook knows that I'm a bald guy because it keeps showing me ads for those little shavers. And I was like, I just can't keep up with it. I need a shaver that's just easy for me to grab and just get the cut going. But yeah, going into next week, once I get my freedom groomer, I'm going to go back to the bald look here, bald and bearded. That's how it is, man. Bald and bearded. That's a sign of strength right now. So, well, listen, man, it's great to have you on here. And I've been just, you know, watching what you've been doing online. We've been connected. We always hop in and have conversations, and you always have a way of just kind of bringing, like, I've had conversations before with you, and I remember even there's been times where I've been at a lower point, and I'm like, man, Klaus, this is what's going on. You always have a way of just making me feel relieved. I get this sense of relief when I speak to you. And I think that's one of your superpowers, whether you see it or not. I believe it's, from my perspective, it's one of your superpowers. So how, you know, being a father, being a husband, being an entrepreneur, like, how are you keeping all this intact and being able to maintain, you know, such a juggling act, I think, you know, for a lot of people when they're a family man and they're also, you know, they're married and they're husbands and or wives and then they're also trying to build a business at the same time. Like, what are some things that you think people should be keeping in mind when they're trying to keep up with this juggling act?
Mm-hmm. I appreciate that. First of all, great to be on here on your show. Always appreciate talking to you. So, man, we could go all over the place, right? So one, what you said first, right? You're trying to connect. You're not feeling so well. We're still having a conversation. And my superpower being like, I can elevate you. And I hope this doesn't sound weird, but I love when people have challenges or, you know, not feeling well, not feeling your 100%. That's a challenge, right? And it is for me as well. But for some reason, when somebody else has it, for me, there's like a bell going off, like ding, 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 it's go time. And then I really love to help. And that's probably why that happens. And I get that often. So I'm just grateful that you feel comfortable with me to share that, right? Because we're so afraid all the time of sharing how we feel when we feel not our best, because when we feel our best, I mean, the whole world can know that, right? Yeah. That's okay. But when we don't, that's a harder time. So then in regards to the part of, you know, how do I balance everything? And in all honesty, right, I struggle with it just as much as anybody else. And I'm trying to figure out, I'm figuring out my way. There's no trying to. I'm figuring out my way all the time. And things change all the time. So continuously you're looking at, okay, how can I adapt myself?
Yeah.
Right. So one of the first things that we have to understand is give yourself some grace. Mm-hmm. Accept that it's just messy. It's probably chaotic, and just enjoy that. If you get to that part, that's nice, because that will take a lot of stress off. It's like, look, I, knowing from yourself, I just, it's funny that you bring this up, because I just spoke about this with my client, where I said, I saw somebody post, right? Appreciate your parents because they did the best they could with what was given to them or with whatever they knew. Mm-hmm. And I started flipping it around, thinking out of me. And it's like, as long as I do my best, and I can say to myself when I lay my head on the pillow, I have done my best, even if I didn't achieve some goals, even if I didn't spend the time that I wanted or did something that I wanted to do with or for my my wife or with or for our sons, whatever that is, if I can lay my head down and say, yeah, yes, I gave it my all, then I should give myself grace and be happy, and then just look at and analyze what went wrong so I can improve. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I promise you, and I will immediately hook into that, I promise you that I would share with you what I'm doing this week, because actually this week for me is like, it's the best week ever. I am absolutely 100% on fire. And the reason for that is that, as you know, you've been my guest on 100 Masters of Productivity. And I also had the pleasure of interviewing some people like Jim Edwards, for example.
Mm-hmm.
And Jim shared something that made me click. So he said, you should time block. You should schedule everything that you need to do in a day. And I'm like, another one, time blocking, scheduling. I mean, yeah. You'd probably be the same. Like, yeah. Dude, man, everybody knows that now. I know that. I do that, right? I mean, I can show you right now, like my schedule is full, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's great. However, what happens is that for me, at least, I wasn't sticking to my schedule.
Yeah, I've done that too. Yeah.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. You're laughing because you're late, right? And everybody else that's listening to this right now probably has the same thing. It's like, yeah, I know that scheduling. It's just not working for me because I'm not sticking to the schedule.
Yeah.
Now, on one hand, I was always saying it's okay to not stick to your schedule. It happens, right? However, what happened with me was I would flow into something different. I would maybe not feel like it and then watch some Netflix, or I may not feel like it and then play some video games, or I would not feel like it and then just do something else that was not constructive.
Mm-hmm.
And constructive can be in a lot of ways. We can talk about that later. But for now, let's focus on those time blocks, right? So what I've done now, and you'll like this because you know what I'm trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know Richard Branson, right? So Richard Branson is like, for me, the number one. You know this because I share this often with you. Like, if anything, like if I could get him on my show in his lifetime, or maybe in my lifetime, depends on how fast I'm going to go, that would be for me like, yes. Like I've conceived what I really wanted to achieve. So what I do now is every single time block that I set for myself, I pretend like it's an appointment with Richard Branson. Because I would never in 1,000 years cancel on Richard Branson.
Right.
I would never say like, hey, Richard, thanks, but no, I don't have the time right now. I want to watch some Netflix. I would never do that. Right. Or no, I prefer to play some video games than to sit with you and you know, have you share your golden nuggets with me. There's no way. So I've ingrained that in my brain the whole week. I have not yet played a video game. I have not yet watched 1 second of Netflix or nothing. Everything is followed to the minute of what I scheduled for myself. All my exercising, all my meditations, all my time with the kids, all my time, the time with my wife. And now that I see like, okay, wow, I can be that strict with myself or following exactly what I need to do. Now I can look at like, what am I not scheduling? Right.
Mm-hmm.
Because another great man, Alex Sharfin, as you probably heard of, he asks you then, what's the most important thing for you? right? Mm-hmm. And most people will say my kids or my partner or my business or whatever it is, right? And right. he will then ask you, show me your time blocks of the day and show me how many blocks are set for what's most important to you. Mm-hmm. And let me see if it indeed is most important to you, especially right. if you time block like I do. And that started clicking. Now, my wife is very important to me. And I noticed all of a sudden, it's like, wait a minute, I blocked my whole day and my wife's actually not on there, not even 1 second. So something's wrong, yeah. right? But now that I know I can stick to my time blocks, I know that now all I have to do is just change my time blocks a little bit. Mm-hmm. Change my time blocks, maybe yeah. make it a little later or just switch it or take something out and put her more in where possible, right? So life now is going to be so much better and so moving forward so much faster because now I've proven to myself I can stick to this.
Yeah.
And I'm making huge amounts of progress. So that was a long answer to your question.
I love it. And that's cool. The Richard Branson and really, because you're right. I mean, if there was something, I do the same thing. Like I'll look at my calendar and that time block, and that's a practice I put in place. And I'll look at it, I was like, well, sometimes I won't take this as serious as I should because I know that in my own brain, I guess maybe somewhere in my subconscious is telling me it's like, oh, well, you can do that later. You know, I'm going down some rabbit hole mentally. And it could be something productive replaced with something else productive. It could be, and that's typically what will happen to me. It's like, I know I got to get this tax stuff to my accountant. I got to do it. That's one specific customer. I keep kicking that can down the road because I'd rather work on this project because I'm so drawn to it. I feel like I'm in my mode of genius right now for that project. And that's where I get sabotaged is I'm very much so, you know how you go through a day. And let's just say you got a couple projects. There's a couple projects you're working on and they're really top of mind for you. And then there's the other stuff that you have to do it has to get done, but it's not as top of mind as far as like taxes. And you'll just click into that mode during the time block that's not for that project and your mind starts drifting to that project. And maybe there's some amazing headlines hitting your head or hitting your mind about, oh, you know what, that would be perfect for that, for the website. And it's like disciplining yourself to kind of like shield that out for a second so you can stay focused on that time block the time that you've assigned for whatever that thing is. It's been the challenge for me. And I wanted to ask you something, some follow-up to what you said. The first one is speaking to that, you know, how does one person kind of overcome the distraction of, I guess, the mind drift, you know, when your mind is drifting, because it's, I feel like it's almost inevitable, especially when you really got a big project and you're super focused on it. And then second thing is I noticed that you actually write out your time blocks. You actually have a notepad and you write it down versus using like a Google Calendar, which I find to be interesting because I think there's some advantages to writing it versus, you know, putting it to some electronic device. So let's start with the first one. We'll get to the writing thing second, but let's start with the first one about when your mind starts drifting, what can somebody do to stay focused on the time block at hand? Because I think that's for me personally, that's probably my biggest challenge when it comes to sticking to time blocks is my mind drifts when I'm in the middle of it.
Yeah. And same here.
Yeah.
Right. Like I gave an example, like, oh, I do Netflix or oh, I do, you know, a video game because, you know, that's like the worst thing that you can do. But of course there's anything in between, right? Yeah. Making another post on Facebook or working all of a sudden on that landing page, whatever it is, right? So again, it comes back to that appointment. Like you and I are on this call right now. My mind can still drift. Actually, it just did. Mm-hmm. It's normal. Like our mind drifts. I love there's this, and I can't come up with his name right now. I'm sure I can't, but there's this Buddhist monk. And if you go to YouTube and you type in crazy monkey mind, he has like a, I think between 3 and 5 minute video. And it is just phenomenal how he explains why we struggle so much doing meditation, because we think that we can keep our mind still. You cannot keep your mind still. You just have to give your monkey mind an order of, hey, monkey, this is what we're going to do. Let's focus on our breath, for example, right?
Yeah.
Now, the thing is that even if you do that and you're not practiced at it, our mind drifts, right? So I'm talking right now and I'm talking a lot. I bet people are listening right now and their mind is drifting because you hear something, you hear a word or you hear a sentence and it clicks and your mind goes away. It's normal, right? And you get great ideas. It's even more normal for an entrepreneur. That's mm-hmm. what makes us so great. We are creative, right? We continuously look at like, you know, how can I solve a problem? What can I do here? And so our mind drifts. So how do you stay then, you know, in what you're doing? How do you stay loyal, if you want to call it that,
yeah.
to that time block that you set for yourself? So one is, like, this is what happened. Oh, you can't see it. This is.
Oh, there it is.
Right. So it's a little book. And I was thinking, I need to find my little notebook again, because I had a little notebook and I would always have it with me. So when a thought would come in, I just quickly go, burp, I need to do this. And then I just leave it. And then it's out of your brain. It's on a piece of paper. You know, it won't be forgotten. So you don't have to worry about it. And now it gets done later. Mm-hmm. And now I can continue with what I was doing. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I would never, like, for example, let's say if, in my head, all of a sudden comes up that I have to do the dishes.
Yeah.
Right.
Just very
simple, basic example. There's no way that I'm going to do the dishes right now. Even if I know that if I don't do it now, because it just came to my mind, if I don't do it now, I'll probably forget. Yep. This is actually literally like what's going on, because I still have to do the dishes. So I will forget. If I didn't write it down, I will forget, right? So what I do is, and in this case, I said, like, I have a little piece of paper and I just say dishes so I remember, right? And now I'm focused. I would never stand up and be like, audience, and Jake, I apologize. However, I just remembered I have to do the dishes. Let me do that. I'll be back in 10 minutes. Like, yeah, I won't do that. That's disrespectful.
Right.
Correct?
Yeah.
So why then, and this is the question to you and to the audience, why then would you do it to what you set yourself to be doing?
Mm.
Like, let's go, for example, with something very important and very simple as your morning system or your workout. We all know how important it is to work out. However, that's one of the first things that, once we don't really feel like it, or we feel like there's something else that's more important, we will skip. And in my opinion, there's nothing more important than working on your health.
Yeah.
Because if you're not healthy, if you're not feeling the energy, it will move its way through every single area in your life.
Yeah.
You first have to work on you. However, that you are also the first thing that you will skip out on.
Yeah, that's so true.
You won't if you just say, this is a commitment. I just like this, you and I have a appointment. We set this appointment, right? No mm-hmm. matter what happens, I stick to this appointment. It will be disrespectful of me to not do so.
Right.
So now for me, I am honestly, I'm not strong enough myself to keep the commitment to myself. So I just pretend like it's a commitment. And in my case, I say Richard Branson, but it could be anybody. It could be mm-hmm. you just saying, I have a commitment with class every day. And I, you know,
yeah,
that's great, right? I don't care who you pick. Just pick somebody and see if that works. Now, this works for me. Doesn't mean to work for you, but to find something that works for you so you stick to it. And right now, this is working for me, and I know for a fact that this will work for more people, because we're not the top. We're not a Richard Branson. We're not, who else do I listen to a lot? Les Brown or The Rock, right? Yeah. The Rock, he seems to be religious when it comes to his workouts. You always seem screaming, it's 3 a.m. in the morning. There's nobody here. This is the way we like it. And you're like, wow, I could never do that.
Mm-hmm.
Of course not. No. I'm not him. He's like the 1% of the 1% of the 1% out there, right?
Yeah.
I don't want to be that. I don't have to be that. I just have to make sure that he motivates me and I use it to my advantage.
Hmm.
So then, for example, I can say, like, look, I have when it comes to my workouts, I have an appointment with The Rock. Like, I got to show up.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So, yeah. That's the way I do that. And, it's working. So I hope that helps.
No, absolutely. I mean, and I think that you have to do what works for you. you know, and yeah. it's not, I think with a lot of these different, you know, approaches and methodologies to how you can improve your life in whatever fashion that may be, you have to do what works for you and what works for your situation, and productivity and staying focused is really no exception. I mean, I know, like, for myself, you know, what helps me with staying focused is, I kind of play with my senses. So, like, I'll put on music, I'll put on classical music just to have some noise. And when I have that, it does something to me. I've got an incense burner over here. I like to light an incense, the aroma. It just gives me like a calming feeling. And that seems to work really well for me. It's not perfect. Definitely doesn't mean my mind doesn't drift and I don't hit those modes of focus where it starts to drift, but it certainly improves the process. And even sometimes too, man, like when things get really, really choppy in your mind and get really messy in your head, I think one of the best things I've ever done for myself is just get out of the house and go for a walk. Like, just leave your current state and just go somewhere else and reset. I always tell my wife, I'm like, hey, I'm going for a walk around the neighborhood. She's like, oh, you want to take one of the boys with you? I'm like, I'd love to, but no, like, this is for me to reset. Like, that's the whole purpose of this, is for me to go and just reset. You know what I'm saying? What are some things you do? Like, when you just need to reset, what are some things that you do to just reset, to get back to that foundation that you need to be at to get moving again?
Yeah, exactly. So I've learned, for example, that I need to do something at 11:30. So I noticed every single time, like 11:30, I just had that down. So I was like, all right, so I can do one thing that some gurus are saying, like, you know, just hustle, grind, and work through that. And yes, it could work for some, right? Great. It just wasn't working for me. Like, it would get worse. And then by the time I would pick up the kids at 2, I'd be done, right? Mm-hmm. And I would fall asleep, and it's just horrible. So I started dancing. I found this great 10-minute video masterclass thingy, and I watch one or two depending on how I feel. I do some exercising, and I feel great again, and then I get back at it. So I that's now for me a complete time block that I put in, right? So I learned along the way, like, exactly, like, okay, this is a time that's, it's done for me, right? So that's one. And dancing or listening to music, and then not the classical music for me, but just something that really, like, upbeats, right? Because you don't want the upbeat music when you're trying to focus. However, you want the upbeat music when you notice, like, I'm sinking, right? I'm feeling that energy just go.
Yeah.
And you probably do the same. So that really helps. Walking, like you just said, that really helps. So I also know, like, you know, around, I have to pick up the kids at 2, so that's perfect. I leave earlier than usual, and I take the dog, and I go for an extra long walk before I get to the school. Mm. And that's the same reason. Like, I'm out in the fresh air, and I go for that extra walk, again, to improve my health, improve my energy. And then at 5 o'clock, which is in about 30 minutes or so, and then most every day we go to the playground. So again, it's like I work for an hour, maybe 2, and then the kids and I, we go to the playground and we let go. And I mean, I'm the biggest kid there. Like, I play soccer with them and hide and seek. I'm not like all those other parents sitting down. And even though if I'm tired mentally or whatever it is, I will, you know, if my kids want to play hide and seek, we play hide and seek. If they want to play soccer, we play soccer. If they want to do other stuff and it's in my capabilities, then absolutely I will be running around. Like, and it's cool because you see all the other kids all of a sudden, like, as soon as I come, they all come running because they know that we're going to have even more fun, right?
Yeah.
And that speaks for itself. And it's not, you know, like, I'm not going to say like, oh yeah, I'm fantastic, but it's like, they're fantastic, but because they have no idea how much they're helping me. Like, yeah. I look at them and I learn from them and I learn their innocence and their crazy energy, and they're just not giving, not caring, right? The youngest one, he's 5 years old. He has these really cool pajamas.
Yeah.
Right? Batman pajamas. He wears them as jeans because he loves them. Right? And I think, like, you know what? That is really cool. The other day, our oldest, he's 7. They have a YouTube channel now, right?
Yeah, I saw that. That's awesome.
Yeah, it's going really well also. Yeah. So we're walking in the supermarket, right? Buying fruit and vegetables and all that stuff. And he sees one of the employees that we know a little bit, right? And he goes up and he's like, "Hi, how you doing? You know, we have a YouTube channel and it's called so and so," right? He's just blatantly disregarding everything and just promoting himself, not worrying about any repercussions, nothing. Then we go to the cashier to pay. We have no idea. Never seen that cashier before. He just immediately goes, "Hey, how you doing? We got a YouTube channel. You should check it out." I'm like, wow. Right. I mean, we would never do that. They would be so scared. And here he is. So now I'm learning from them how to be relentless, how to be fearless and just be like, man, who cares? Like, he's proud of what he does. And so should we. But for some reason, there's something holding us back. Like, ooh, what's the other person going to say?
Right.
Right. Yeah. So that's what I do. I mostly want to be like either doing something for myself that's in physical or being with the kids for me is like I am playing with the Legos.
I said quietly,
but yeah, love playing with Legos, man. I've played an hour already today just finding all the pieces so they later can, you know, put them together for their YouTube channel. There's something peaceful in trying to go through 1,000 Lego pieces to find, like, you know, the most tiniest Lego piece you can, and then finding it. It's a big victory as well, and it gives me peace. It's like, oh, this was nice. So those are different things that I do to just unwind and let it go, come back, relax, and I do that throughout the day. So I hardly have moments, right, where I all of a sudden feel the need to, you know, get one of my emergency plans and put that into play, because I've learned over time, like, yeah, this is a time that I need to do something else.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. I'm the same way on the playground. I'm very much so involved. And what's fun about that, and it sounds like that you've experienced this too, when you're that parent that's like also playing tag with your kids, other kids will come up. The kids where the parents aren't doing anything, they'll come up and be like, "Can we play with you guys?" And you're like, "Yeah, come on!" Like, so you get, next thing you know, there's this like huge playground of tag going on between you. It's like, because me and my wife is the same way. Like, when we'll go to playground together, and we're both like running around playing hide and seek and tag and just, you know, they give you the gift of reliving your childhood. And it's like when I had kids, I remember that was the first thing that, I mean, among other things, but that was one of the first things that became very apparent to me was, oh my gosh, I get to relive my childhood. I get to, you know, watch Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles again, and it's fun. And I get to go play tag and hide and seek. And, you know, we had like a Nerf gun. When my wife went out of town, I was like looking at my boys and I was like, "Hey, y'all want to go to the store and get some Nerf guns and like, you know, build towers and towers of cups or whatever, and shoot the cups with the Nerf guns and have a little war." They're like, "Yeah, let's do it." And there's something about that. I mean, beyond the fact that I think it's really important to be engaged like that with your children, I think for what it does to you, I think is something also really special in terms of your just the vibration of where you're operating at just goes so far up, and you're able to it's a great way to also release. And I love your what you said before about the little card. It's like you got to release that noise and put it somewhere, you know. So it's like, because I think if you don't have somewhere to put it, it comes back to you, and it's like the doing the dishes, right? And you were talking about like, I got to release this and put it somewhere. So you got that piece of paper near you and you write it down, and now it's been put into a place. So listen, I want to shift over. We're kind of getting on the tail end of the interview here, and I want to talk about what you're doing with Secret Productivity Hacks. And you've had 100 masters of productivity who you've been interviewing, and it's like you're getting some pretty serious players in the business industry, in the business world, entrepreneurship on this project with you. So I'm like so impressed by what you've been doing with this. I personally have had the honor of being part of this with you as well, but I want to like, let's hear like what's going on with this project. Let's talk about some of the people you've had the opportunity to bring into this project, and what can people expect, you know, from the outcome of what you're creating here.
Yeah, I appreciate that. So 100 Master Productivity is an ongoing product. And the reason for that is that I've already said to myself, so this will be probably the first time that I share this with other people. I want the 100th Master of Productivity to either be Russell Brunson or Richard Branson. So it's going to be ongoing until I have those on. And I already had guests like John Lee Dumas and Dave Woodward and Jim Edwards, I just mentioned as well. However, also Marley Jacks and Monica Tanner, Kiri Marie Moore, Jula Tangen. The list keeps going. Yeah. Kate Erickson, you probably also heard of. She's going to come on still. So there's also spots available because people were saying like, look, I can't right now. I'm focused. Can we, you know, is it still going on? And can I hop on later? And then I say yes, because I prefer to wait and get that quality than to look and then maybe have to settle for something of less quality. So that's how that goes. And it's really, really great to hear so far everybody giving a different productivity hack. And it goes from your relationship should be on point to what we just discussed, like, you know, you should time block, right? Time blocking is like, okay, everybody knows time blocking.
Yeah.
However, you know, nobody thinks of productivity as in, you know, your relationship should be in order. Like, you know, you and your partner, you should be clicking because that's helped with productivity. So that's been really cool. And the cool part, I can't remember if I told you, Jula Tangen has a nonprofit organization called We Rescue Kids. Mm-hmm. So she, when she was young, she was massively abused for several years. And that resulted in her now having an incredible business and now starting her nonprofit organization where she helps kids that have been abused through that process of coming out better. Mm-hmm. And we aligned the 100 Master Productivity with that. And I'm gonna share 50% of the proceedings will go straight to We Rescue Kids. So I'm very excited about that because it will be my first project to do more than giving, right? We're already giving, right? We're giving value all the time and that's great. But now it's like really a something extra that I've always wanted that I was missing to now give specifically to one organization and one cause.
Right.
So that's pretty exciting. And what can people be expecting? That's it. So people that join us now, they get to see all the master productivity so that they're highly successful entrepreneurs that share their productivity hack, that share their number one tip for fellow entrepreneurs of what they've learned, and they share a little bit of their story. Mm-hmm. And yeah, people can jump on and then they get access to that area where they can just get all those nuggets. And as I said, so far, it's just been one nugget after another. It's insane. Like I always ask for one and then people start talking just like I do. And then instead of giving one, right, before you know it, you already give like two or three or whatever it is. They're short videos. So it's not like, you know, you're going to have like an hour long video with a lot of nuggets. It's just around 15 minutes each, which is sizable, right? It's nice. It's just quickly like, oh yeah, let me check this one out. We're going to put the audio files in there. And I'm talking to so far some of the guests to add something extra, which some of them have already agreed to make it even more amazing products. Again, especially focused on making sure that this project is going to just really boom and give us the opportunity to really help We Rescue Kids.
Yeah.
Because Jula Tangen's story of what she shared, like I saw her, I was there live and face to face when she shared her story. And I was bawling.
Wow.
I was bawling like crazy because it was just, and then, you know, I started thinking of our kids and then her hearing her share her story. It was scary. It was crazy. And it all happened in the United States. one of those countries that you're like, wow, you know, you would never expect that, right? Mm-hmm. If it'll be like a third world country, even though you don't want it to happen there either, it's still more like, okay, there's different things going on. So it's more like, yeah, kind of not understand, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And in the United States, you're like, dude, more common, really the US, yeah. like we're so far evolved and, you know, there's so much control of police and government, and you'd never think that would happen. So, mm-hmm. It's amazing. And I'm so blessed to be a part of it.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's what we're working on right now.
That's amazing. And I agree, especially as a father, mm-hmm. I've become far more sensitive to stories, especially about children and, mm-hmm. you know, not so pleasant things happening with children. I find myself tearing up more, you know, when I hear those mm-hmm. stories. I remember there was a guy who his daughter, got into this really bad car accident, and she was in ICU, and, he was, you know, just kind of a mess, and he was, you know, he was out of work, and anyway, when I heard about it, like I started crying because I was thinking about my kids, you know, and like being in his shoes as a father, and like I was almost like living through him, had that experience, you know, just as a father, and it was like, wow, like I never mm-hmm. thought that I would be this sensitive to stuff, but it is. So I can. Yeah, that's awesome. I'm glad that you're supporting that cause. I think it's a bigger problem than people realize too, you know, that's yep. going on. It's definitely, yeah. I mean, United States is, you know, we're really, we're no exception. I mean, there's definitely some bad things that are happening here. It's out there and it needs to be addressed. And, you know, that's something I'm really happy to hear that you're jumping on board with, aside from what you're delivering in value to, you know, to other entrepreneurs, you're helping them, but you're also taking it to a bigger cause. And that's really admirable to hear. So I applaud you for that and definitely want to, you know, highlight that and acknowledge that. So Klaus, it's been great chatting with you, man. I've really enjoyed this interview as always. You know, we've been connected now for I guess a little over a year at this point. I'm almost, I don't know, maybe it's been 2 years. I don't know. It's been a while. It's been a while. Yeah. I feel like I've known you my whole life. But you know, I want to make sure that anybody that's listening right now, if they want to get connected with you, and how can they find you? Where can they get connected?
I appreciate that, man. There's so many places right now. I remember the first time we spoke, I think it was also with Become a Fearless Father. That was all I would say was becomeafearlessfather.com.
Yeah.
That one doesn't exist anymore. Man, it's now, and the easiest thing is just Facebook and then, you know, look me up at Klaus van Oosterhout. That's the easiest one because there's definitely only one of me. Mm-hmm. But then if you want to look more, like 100 Masses of Productivity.com is up. And as well as secretproductivityhacks.com and secretproductivityhacksradio.com. And of course, the bigger one, becomethemeiwanttobe.com, are all the websites that we have up and running right now with all kinds of amazing information. And the same for the podcast. So Become the Me I Want to Be is the podcast to listen to all these amazing guests that I have on. And yeah, for now, that's going to be it. I don't want to have another website or a podcast or anything. I'm going to focus on these.
Yeah.
But it's a lot of fun how that journey has been going and developing and getting more mm-hmm. amazing guests on and just being able to deliver more and more new value of what I learned along my journey.
Awesome. Well, and we'll make sure, you know, now that my podcast has evolved, now I've got the blog and everybody gets, I call it my neighborhood. And the blog is my neighborhood, and you're going to have a home in my neighborhood. It's going to be your page. We're going to have all the links. We're going to have this podcast interview. We'll have a little YouTube video and really point, you know, give people that central point through my neighborhood and how they can take a journey with you in your home. So that is going to be, for anybody who just wants to get access to Klaus and be able to kind of pick that journey from what we're creating here, just go to www.introspectivepodcast.com/Klaus, and that's KLAAS, and that will take you to his home in the neighborhood and where you can take a journey with Klaus. Brother, it's been a great time. I appreciate it. And for all my listeners, thank you for being here on today's episode of the Introspective Podcast. And we will see you on the next episode. Thank you for tuning in to today's episode of the Introspective Podcast, where mindful entrepreneurs get their daily deep dive to uncover new opportunities, raise their state of awareness, and shift the introspective towards their next breakthrough moment in both life and business. And if that sounds like you, then make sure to subscribe to the podcast on your favorite platform. You can find the show on Apple, Spotify, Google, Stitcher, and Amazon. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you tomorrow here on the Introspective Podcast.